Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime. LGBT thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
He is from the DNA Doe Project. Carl Koppelman, thank you for being here.
Glad to be with you.
So, Carl, first of all, tell the listeners what exactly is the DNA Doe Project.
Well, the DNA Doe Project is a nonprofit 501c3 organization run by Colleen Fitzpatrick and Margaret Press. They're two PhDs who one of them is a former crime writer, author of crime novels, and they're pretty smart people, but they put together this this organization that deals with trying to identify John Doe's and Jane Doe's unidentified decedent cases through forensic genealogy by using their DNA and running the DNA through a open source database called GEDmatch, which identifies people who are related in some way to that Doe, and from there we can develop family trees on the matches, and ultimately, you know, find where those trees intersect, and eventually, ultimately, identify the John Doe or Jane Doe. It's the same method that was used earlier this year to identify the Golden State Killer. It's the same process, but we use it for unidentified decedent cases.
So what exactly are the biggest challenges that you guys face?
Well, there's a few challenges. First of all, in a lot of instances where you're dealing with isolated people from whose ancestry is from isolated regions, such as the Appalachians or old communities in, say, Mexico or that sort of thing, there's always intermarriage within the, within the family. So what happens is the DNA gets, it makes sort of a mess out of the family tree in trying to sort it all out. And they call it endogamy. That's the technical word for it, but it's intermarriage, and that makes it very difficult to interpret the results in many cases. another complication now is there's just recently, back in May, the GEDmatch, which is run by a couple of retired men in a residence in Florida, they instituted a policy in which the members can, by default, they're opted out for law enforcement access to their data, and then the members have to affirmatively opt in order for their data to become available. So we've been very restricted by that new development in their, or the new change in their policy.
Is there any difference between the law as it concerns looking for DNA to find a suspect or to identify a victim?
I don't know if there's a difference. There's a concept from, it's called the third party doctrine. Mm-hmm. It was a Supreme Court case, United States versus Miller in 1976, and then it was reaffirmed in 79 in Smith versus Maryland. There's a concept called the third party doctrine, which states that any time a person puts their information out in a public forum, it is open to anybody who wants to look at it. No, they can't then later claim a right to privacy on that information. So law enforcement has been able to look at, look at anything that they find online. Anything that someone's willing to share online is completely, the law enforcement is free to use that in any way they want to. But nevertheless, the owners of GEDmatch, just out of concern for the concerns of their customers, decided to institute this policy, which they didn't have a legal obligation to do, but they did nevertheless.
So it's voluntary right now. If you can opt in to have your DNA included in these searches?
Yeah, but by default they're opted out. So
you have to choose to
Yeah, in a lot of cases, people who have signed up for the site and then have gone on to other things and never go on the site anymore aren't even aware, even if perhaps they don't mind being opted in. They're not even aware of the policy, so they're by default opted out. In other cases where someone has put their DNA in there and has subsequently died, they're permanently opted out. They have no ability to opt in, and so that kid is permanently off limits to law enforcement. So that's created a lot of difficulties on our part, because before May, we were getting some very strong matches on our does. In one case, we got a first cousin, which we were able to solve the case within hours. But now, the matches are more distant, and takes a lot more work to try to sort out the family trees on these things, because we're not getting as good a matches or as close a matches as we used to.
So it's an actual hindrance now.
Yeah, as of right now, 90% of the database is opted out, and slowly people are coming along and opting in. But we're blind to 90% of the database now because of that change in policy.
I didn't realize the percentage was that high. 90%.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, probably most of these people wouldn't object to, to law enforcement visibility of their thing. They know it's going to help solve a crime, and most people are okay with that. But for whatever reason, it's been slow getting people to opt in, and I could probably use this opportunity on the radio that if anybody has a has an Ancestry.com kit, I urge them to upload it to GEDmatch and to opt in for law enforcement access, because we need all the help we can get with getting a good, strong database of information.
And it makes a real difference having access to that much more information. So, if you're out there, opt in.
If you're out there, if you have an Ancestry kit, upload it to GEDmatch, and if you're in GEDmatch already, opt in, please. It could help us out enormously.
Well, so if you opt in and you get your DNA, and what if you're connected to someone you don't want to be connected to?
Well, I don't know about everybody else, but for myself, if I had a violent criminal in my family tree, I wouldn't be anxious to protect the person. I would be wanting to see the person apprehended. If there's a serial murderer in my family tree, and they can't count on me to cover for him. So,
some people would be embarrassed, I guess. But
it might be an embarrassment. But right, and I'm very supportive of law enforcement personally. So, if they need to look at my information and it helps them solve a long unsolved cold case or an unidentified decedent case as we do, feel free to to look at it.
So what's the general public response right now to stuff like GEDmatch and all that, getting DNA done?
My experience from the people who follow my Facebook page, they're very supportive of it, but there's others who are kind of civil libertarian types at heart who, kind of cringe at the idea that, police can, that's something that they put into a database that, for the purposes of their own family research can be used by police to connect a crime to, connect their DNA to a crime. Or to connect their family history to a crime. So, it's a mixed bag, but I think for the most part, people understand that, that especially with the case of Doe's, there is no issue of, or only tangentially, there's an issue of, it may end up getting somebody arrested. In most mm-hmm. cases, these Doe's cases are people whose identities won't necessarily lead to a suspect. A lot of them are not crimes. They're just people who have had accidents or various causes of death that are unrelated to a homicide. But there are others that are homicides. This is. There are only a few cases that we've solved that have actually, or only a couple that have actually led to the identity of the killer. So, aside from that, you're just bringing closure to a family member who's wondered for decades what happened to their loved one.
Now, how do you decide which cases to look at?
Well, we have a whole list of them. We were contacted by various law enforcement agencies or coroner's offices and say, we have this case we've been unable to solve, and we have DNA on it, and could you, see if you can solve it? And to date, we've solved, we have 15 cases just in the last a little more than a year that we've been able to, that the police have been unable to solve, but we've been able to solve through this process. So, and there will probably be more in the future. There's, we have plenty more that we're working on, but what happens is a police agency will contact us and say, we have DNA on this case and can you see what you can do with it? And there are, I think we have about 50 or approximately 50 volunteers who do this all for nothing. We set ourselves up into teams and assign out certain cases to various teams, and that's what we do in our spare time.
And how long does that process usually take from the time when you take on a case and have actually identified the person?
Well, as I said, there have been a couple of cases that we've solved in hours. The one case I'm working on now is we've been working on for about a year now, and it's slow going, and it just all depends on how strong your match list is. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a case out of Ventura from 1980. It involves a young Hispanic pregnant woman. She was, we know who killed her, but we don't know her identity. And she was about 5 months pregnant when she was murdered by this this man. She was picked up hitchhiking in the Visalia area in California. And her body was found in the parking lot of Westlake Village High School near Thousand Oaks. And there's another woman who's also unidentified who was killed by the same killer, whose case we're also working on. But the one I've been working on in for the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 months now, I've been working on this case. But it's this case out of Ventura. So, and it's a Hispanic woman, so all the family history is primarily in Mexico. So the process involves having to go through ancestry, and it requires an ability to read Spanish, because I do read Spanish, so I'm pretty good at reading Spanish. So you have to go through these old civil registry entries, some dating back to the 1700s, to try to get clues on on family trees, and you know, you end up compiling the family trees on these people and see where they intersect. And then once you've found where they've intersected, once you find the common ancestors, then the process involves having to go down and find common descendants of the common ancestors. So eventually you'll end up finding the intersection of descendancy, and then that's where your Jane Doe's family is.
Now, is there another... Do you have access to other databases besides GEDmatch, or are there databases like this outside of the United States?
Yeah, FamilyTree DNA. Yes, FamilyTree DNA makes their data available. There's a couple other ones. The major corporate sites don't. Ancestry.com is, completely off limits. 23andMe, similarly, they're corporate sites that have, terms of service and, user agreements that are all in writing that, say their customer information won't be used for any other purpose. So, our ability to use that data is completely off limits, other than, we use Ancestry to compile family trees, but we can't get any information on the matches themselves or on the DNA results.
Now, are there other databases outside the U.S. that you use, or are there similar things that, law enforcement agencies in Europe use that's different from GEDmatch?
No, I don't think Europe really, or any of the other countries, have similar systems. So we don't have any available to us, or at least none that I'm aware of.
Well, it's interesting that it seems to be something that is brand new, but it's actually been going on for quite a long time. It's just new to the public, it seems.
It's for several years these systems have been available, but it was only about a year ago, there was the Golden State Killer case, and prior to that we had a DNA Doe Project was already in business before that Golden State Killer case was announced. But we had already solved a 1981 case, a young female homicide victim who was known only as Buckskin Girl, and she was one of our first solved cases. Turned out to be a woman by the name of her name escapes me. Marcia King Sossaman.
That's amazing work. So now, how do people help out or find out about the information about your whole organization?
Well, DNADoeProject.org, the site is online, and anybody can go online and read about their mission. They're on Facebook. There's a DNA Doe Project Facebook page, so we let the public know of what we're up to and, what our current cases are. And whenever we solve one, we we announce it on the Facebook page if law enforcement is okay with publicizing the names of these people. There are a couple instances where the name hasn't been publicly disclosed, so we honor either the families or law enforcement's desire to keep the name confidential. But in most cases, the details are provided on the Facebook page.
Well, and do you take donations?
Oh, yes, they do. And, the means of doing that is provided on the Facebook page and on their website.
Well, fantastic. We'll have that on our website as well. Again, thank you for being here.
Okay, thank you very much.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.